It's always a blessing to serve the Lord, isn't it? It has its challenges, but we're not on our own. We have a Savior, the Father of all creation, as we just sang. So I do have a PowerPoint. I hope Lawrence can bring that up. And it just helps you and it helps me a little bit to know where I'm going. This is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us an abundant life. You have poured out your Holy Spirit upon all flesh. You have given the grace that we may all seek after and find your fullness in our lives. We thank you that your Spirit not only fills us, but overflows out of us into the world around us and glorifies yourself. We humble ourselves before you and recognize that we are temples of you, a holy God, and you emit from us goodness and power and glory that goes back to you. And so we surrender ourselves to you tonight, Lord, that you would inspire us and increase our faith, that we may expect greater things of you in us and through us. We pray that our lives would truly increase, that you would increase in us and our flesh would decrease. Your Spirit would increase in us and our soulish, earthly, natural desires would decrease. That we would be captivated by your beauty, amazed by what you do and worship you. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are somewhat controversial in the body of Christ, generally speaking. There are people who believe they have ceased, the cessationists. The gifts have ceased after the era of the apostles, the 12 disciples. There are those who believe that the gifts are something we possess, that they are ours, that we do what we want with them. Almost like very much, sadly, along the lines of the man who practiced witchcraft in the Acts of the Apostles. And he saw what Peter was doing and he said, "I want this power." And there are many people who just want the power and somehow it becomes, it elevates their arrogance. But that's not what the Holy Spirit does. That's not even the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't arrogant or proud. The Holy Spirit has a purpose in what he does. And his purpose is not specifically to glorify us. God doesn't want to glorify us. He wants to glorify his Son. He wants Jesus to be lifted up. He wants the gospel to be seen and known. He wants people to fall on their knees before him and say, "What must I do to be saved?" This is why he works among us. And yet it's somehow become, in some, especially in America, you fill out a form, you do some calculations, "I can do this, I can do that," and you tick boxes, and at the end it says, "You have these spiritual gifts, discernment, prophecy," and so it's an interesting exercise and useful to kind of see where God is directing us in the areas where he tends to use us. But really, the Holy Spirit responds to our faith and can use us in any way. If you are the only believer in a room of unbelievers, the Holy Spirit will use you to speak to those unbelievers. And it will come by the Holy Spirit. It will involve the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's a gift that the Spirit passes through you to other people. The gifts are, the Scriptures say, for the common good. They're not for my good. The gifts are not for my good. Hallelujah. The gifts are for the common good. They're for everybody else, not for me. Because the Holy Spirit wants to communicate God and God's message to others. So on our, these are the areas, the next slide I want to cover. A brief overview of the work of the Holy Spirit, flowing in the river of God's life. The central ingredients of the gifts are love and grace. If we can think of them as ingredients, actually they're part of God's nature and character. An overview of 1 Corinthians 14, and then God's view on gifts and our attitudes towards them. So the working of the Holy Spirit. And the next slide will show you God's inner activity. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is to work in us. Before He does anything else, He has to come upon our conscience and convict us of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. That is the first thing the Holy Spirit does in any of our lives. And then as we repent and recognize Jesus as our Savior, He does something called regeneration. He renews us. We become a new creation. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural work. It's not a work we can do. We don't just magic this regeneration by saying a prayer at a crusade. It's something the Holy Spirit does within us. We feel new. I am a new creation. Regeneration. And then He takes us on a pathway through the whole of our lives of making us holy. Through circumstances, we are being made holy. God is sanctifying us. We are not sanctifying ourselves. We are not becoming holy by being self-righteous, not by being judgmental, not by knowing the rules and keeping them. We are sanctified by desiring to please God and to fulfill His word. The Holy Spirit does that work by our cooperation with Him, which comes about through obedience. And so we devote ourselves to Him. God is involved in our daily walk with Him. This I call devotion. We are devoted to Him. We talk to Him. We read His holy scriptures. We listen to Him through the scriptures. And we desire His involvement in our lives. And prayer is a general description of this devotion, a communication between us and God, a communion with Him by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in our lives. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. How do we know Jesus? We know Jesus because the Holy Spirit comes to us and makes Him known. How do we make Jesus known to others? Because the Holy Spirit comes and speaks through us to others. So the Holy Spirit is an essential person who is the presence of God among us. Then the next slide, God's ministry activity. So as God works through us, He captures everything and uses it for His glory. And there are some gifts He gives. As in Ephesians chapter 4, we have a leadership gift. It tells us when Jesus ascended into heaven, He distributed or scattered gifts among men. And these are generally known as the leadership gifts. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit scattered these gifts in every place where people meet. There will be leadership gifts present. When people meet, somebody will be there whom God raises up as a leader, and you find they have a leadership gift. It may be pastoring, it may be teaching, there may be an evangelist, there may be an apostle, and so on. And then there are demonstrative gifts, gifts which demonstrate the power of God. And we'll go into that a bit more. There are revelatory gifts. Revelatory gifts, gifts of revelation. Gifts of revelation often are gifts of speech, like prophecy, like knowledge, like words of wisdom, where the Holy Spirit brings into the human arena something which wasn't previously known. It was a secret, and God makes it known. And it wasn't something the spokesperson knew, but God reveals it to them and they speak it. So revelatory gifts. Then service gifts. Some of us don't have revelatory gifts. We don't have supernatural power gifts, but we have gifts of service. We just love serving God's people. You love volunteering. You want to give people cups of tea. You want to usher. You want to go and help the poor man on the street. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a passion within you. You desire to do it. And it's something the Holy Spirit causes within you to go and do. And it shouldn't be undermined or despised. Very important are the service gifts. Then, of course, God, when He created us as human beings, He put within us capabilities or talents. And sometimes these talents, we become aware of them as we grow up. Talents are things which we enjoy doing, which we excel in. It could be something like, could even be you're an athlete and you love playing sports. It's a talent. You're talented. We will even call it, he's a talented footballer. Well, that talent comes from God in the creation of that person. And we're all talented to different degrees. Some of us are what they call multi-talented. Some people are multi-talented. They can do many things. Multi-talented people are very much in demand. You know, if you have a multi-talented person, his name always comes up. Go and ask Lawrence to do it. He knows what to do. And Lawrence gets asked all the time, can you do this? Can you do that? And in the end, he says, oh, no, Lord, why did you give me all these talents? But, you know, we all have talents. Even Jesus talks about it. Even if it's one talent, don't waste it. Don't bury it in the ground. We all have talents that God can use. And some of those talents get mixed up in skills which we acquire through life, through training, through experience, life experiences. We can gain skills, which God uses. You know, you may have skills in because of your training in your work, like you may have customer service skills. So when you stand ushering at the door, you are so good at welcoming people. If someone leaves the service upset, hey, they never served me communion. I am so sorry, sir. That is our problem. We will sort it out, please. You know, customer service, some people are good at it anyway without training. So, gift types. I've already described them a bit. But here they are a bit more. Leadership gifts I've mentioned. Demonstrative gifts, which we also call signs and wonders. Working of miracles. Healing. Raising the dead. Acts of faith. Acts of faith means God gives you the faith to do an action which you naturally would not have the power to believe could be possible. Like for us, we are going to need an act of faith in Kololo when we have to move location. The location where we are worshiping is coming to an end and it's no longer suitable, so we have to find another location. And of course, you know, it requires faith to do that. So doing it will be an act of faith. God gives us the faith to do it. That's just a simple example, but there are bigger things than that people get faith for. I heard of a man who began that company, Caterpillar. You know the Caterpillar company, which produces these big machines. Apparently, he was a Canadian gentleman, and he was a Christian. And he did what they call reverse tithing. He took 90% of his income and gave it back to the Lord. 90%! And the company grew and grew, and now it's a global company. So he was a man of faith. Revelatory gifts then, prophecy, unknown languages, tongues with interpretation, of course, is a revelatory gift. Words of knowledge, messages of wisdom, discernment of spirits, dreams and their interpretations. These are all revelations, supernatural revelations. One thing I would say about revelatory gifts, they are not scientific. When God speaks a message, it's the spirit of the message and the truth behind the spirit of that message that we have to capture. We don't need to capture all of the details of the message. Some of the details may be peripheral. They may not be essential. They may just color the picture that God is presenting to us. We have to discover what is the core message that God is speaking to us. And of course, with revelatory gifts, God is speaking through personalities. God is speaking through people, and people have personalities. People have emotions. So for me, I'm a Muzungu, and I'm getting very excited now, but not all Muzungus get excited like me. It's my personality and my emotions which are at work here. And God is speaking in the midst of all of that. And sometimes my emotions may be excited in areas where they don't need to be. So, you know, God is just using human vessels. And we have to understand that when we listen to those messages. And in fact, a person can give a message whose life somehow is a bit messed up. So, nice to see you. Some people, you know, some people can have powerful gifts in miracles, and yet they might have a problem in their life. But God is still doing something through them. And actually, gifts are not a qualification of spiritual character. That's my point. You're not qualified as a Christian because you operate in gifts. And that is a deception of the power side of Christianity. Oh, he's a man of God. He works miracles. No, he's not a man of God because he works miracles. Not at all. He might not be a man of God. He may be unholy in secret. He's a man of God because he works, he walks in the sanctifying work of the Spirit in holiness. Then he's a man of God. Okay, God speaks. God wants to speak. He is not a mute idol. And this is where we find Paul beginning to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's speaking to a pagan culture. And he says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." Somehow people get involved in idolatry of all forms, whether it's here in Africa, in Asia, wherever it is, whether it's in history. Paganism and idolatry has always been part of the human pursuit of power. But the idols cannot say anything. And that's one of Isaiah's mockeries of Israel. You carve out this piece of wood, or you carve out this piece of silver, and what does it say to you? How can it save you, you stupid people? But we don't belong to a mute idol. We don't belong to a mute God. You know the remote control on the TV? You have a mute button. It has a little speaker with a cross, a line through it. You press it, the sound goes off. And some of us worship the TV, but we don't like it to be mute. We like it to say something. God is not mute. God is not silent. God speaks, and he often speaks through the gifts. So here we have the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6, where it says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men." And this is important too, that the Lord is consistent in his message. God does not contradict himself in the gifts of the Spirit. So if you go to one church and God is saying one thing, and you go to another church and he says something contradictory, one of those churches is not listening to the same Spirit. It's one and the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, different kinds of ministry, different gifts, but they only come from one place. And so when we minister in the gifts, we don't lord it over one another. We don't erect ourselves as superior to another, having superior revelation to another, because we should expect it all to have come from the same place. And in fact, often it's like a jigsaw puzzle. God will give a piece to you and a piece to somebody else, and the pieces come together and they make a whole. And they show us a picture we can understand. And nobody gets the glory except God, because he made the picture. Flowing with the Spirit then. That's what we want to do. We want to be in the river of God. The Holy Spirit is described often as a river flowing through the church. Even in the pictures of God, in the Old Testament, especially Ezekiel, we find described a temple. And through the temple flows a wide river. And alongside the river, we find in Revelation, are trees with leaves for the healings of the nations. The Spirit of God, wherever He goes, He gives life. And the life produces fruitfulness in those who dwell beside Him. It reminds me of Psalm chapter 1. Whatever he does prospers because he is by the river. He is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. This is God's glory. This is the Spirit of God flowing through us. But it's more importantly, the Spirit of God flowing through His temple. His temple not only being me as an individual, but His temple being the people of God, the church, the kingdom. It's a big, wide river. And Jesus says to us, as He announced at the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, whoever believes in me. As the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this He meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So He's talking about something that would happen and did happen at Pentecost when the Spirit would fill and overflow. I believe last week you were taught on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is the very experience that Jesus is talking about. But it's not just an infilling, it's an overflowing, it's an outflowing, it's a river that goes through us and out of us into the world. And that's what He did on Pentecost. The whole purpose of the Spirit and the gifts and the power of the Spirit is to throw the church out into the world and carry the message of the gospel of good news. A picture of a river here then. Sometimes there are, you know, the river flows and there are rocks there. So God is flowing in the midst of humanity with its obstacles and difficulties. But sometimes you go to a river and you find that people have piled the stones across the river and the river is dammed up and it can't flow properly. So the illustration here is that we might need to get some rocks out of the river in our minds so that the Spirit can work through us. And I just have a few suggestions as to what may be a rock in your river that is blocking the flow of the Spirit. One possibility is denominational conditioning on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are streams of theology or doctrine that really curtail and hamper the working of the Spirit. So if you have been indoctrinated against the working of the Holy Spirit, you know, people say, you know, the devil, he masquerades as an angel of light. So be careful. Don't do anything that looks like you're an angel of light because it's the devil. Not everything that happens is the devil. Some things the Holy Spirit is doing, and we may actually be stopping Him from doing it. Sometimes we can be blocked by previous teaching which has dumbed down or it has softened our faith. And we need to rise up in the Spirit and expect God to move. Of course, even long periods of time without experiencing the Holy Spirit in the midst of His people can make us stale and empty because we never see Him working among us. We don't expect it anymore. And God may be reviving Calvary to revise her perspective on who the Holy Spirit is and what He is supposed to be doing among us. He's probably supposed to be doing much more than we currently expect of Him, even in where I worship too. I mentioned cessationist beliefs. Then fear of what other people might do to harm us in the guise of charismatic Christianity. There have been abuses, of course, in the use of the gifts. And we've probably all seen it in many different ways. Someone can use what is supposedly a revelation to manipulate you to do something that wasn't really God's will for you to do, but somebody took control of you by calling it the word of the Lord. Even deliverance ministry can be very abusive. They take a person and the person is like an animal. You hold him, you slap him, you shout at him, you point at him as if the person is evil. The person is not evil. The spirit of evil is in them. Just get the spirit out. And it's the name of Jesus. You don't get a spirit out by slapping them, kicking them, pulling them. That won't get the dark spirit out of them. You know, abuses are everywhere in all kinds of things somehow. So sometimes we can feel afraid of being open to these things because we become vulnerable. We feel, I'm a bit scared. Maybe someone's going to do something to me that is harmful. If that is going to happen, there's something wrong. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't come to harm us. He comes to comfort us, to encourage us, to release us, to fill us with joy, peace, and He comes in love. That is the nature of God, and that's what we should expect. So God's flow, in the next slide, begins with a healthy inner life. The flow of the river goes downwards. So a healthy inner life, if we have a healthy inner life with God, we are in love with Him and we're aware of His love for us and we're aware of His love for other people. And His love constrains us. His love stirs us to give something away to somebody else. And that's how His Spirit ministers in the gifts through us to other people. Love and grace then. Love and grace, the next slide, is what I would call the launch pad for the gifts of the Spirit, a launch pad being something that launches a rocket or something into space. A launch pad could be something where a helicopter moves off. But the launch pad of God's work is love and grace. That's the power behind it all. The next slide, the soft center. The soft center of our hearts is God's love in us. And love is central to the gifts of the Spirit. Totally central. It's so obvious. We have chapter 12. We have chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12 about the gifts and the makeup of the body. Chapter 13 is what? Love. The greatest of these is love. You have faith, you have hope, you have love or charity, but the greatest of these is love. And in fact, chapter 13 tells us, why are you so obsessed? All of these things are going to pass away anyway. Don't think you are supernatural forever because you prophesy or because you work miracles. That's not a qualification for you. Those things are going to pass away. They are just here for the building up of the body. That's what they're here for, not for the building up of you. Our central desire for ministering is love. And so we are engaging in chapter 13, what love is, and then, which of course is described as being very selfless. And chapter 14, he gets back into